So now that we're recording, what we'll do is we'll be the first to final review this publication. The final review page here that we've all come to know and hopefully love. Very much the same. We have our 8 columns here in our certification matrix, each with levels 1 through 4. The default question list for the final review has 1 question for each column, where we'll give it an answer of 0 to 4. The certification, recommended certification level at the end of this review will be the highest level that all of the columns achieve. So all of this is pretty fairly standard, fairly straightforward. So we're looking forward to getting through these 8 questions and getting a result at the other side. Joel, any questions before we start?
No.
Okay. Great. So the first thing we ask is, are there any conflicts in name or number space? For this, we have a attached, so we do immediately run into something with potential name and number space conflicts. As we can see here, the content of the patch is properly named X2 8.0 10005 for this kernel patch that we're sending in. We can see that the post routine is properly namespace, and all of the routines here do correctly line up with the namespace of the kernel package. There is no data being brought along, as you can see within the output of the file, which actually I think I have to show through. Actually, a system I don't have running anymore. But we'll just briefly look at the kids file to notice that there is no data being brought along. This is a terrible way to go about it, but that's the only data that we can see. So the fact that there's no data being brought along in this patch means that there's no number space conflicts to subsist. So we have a kernel patch with a kernel namespace. And routines that are brought along are also in the kernel namespace, so we seemingly have no conflicts in name or number space. Joel, any questions or comments with that one?
No.
Okay. Given that it passes, we can give it the highest level possible for pass, which is level 4. We'll write in a brief comment here saying, okay, and that allows us to move into dependency standards and conventions. Much like we just established in the previous one, the previous review, we did run XIndex on the report. We are able to determine that the submission itself had no new issues, the incoming code that we found, and if it did, they are properly guarded by calls to checking of the text of the routine. And I don't believe that any of those were actually in the code that we had, but it was still good to say that the report on the XIndex, the routine itself, was there. If we were to get the submission up, which just give me 1 second. I'm sorry for not doing this exactly correct yet. See if it's actually in here. No. Okay, we'll open up our Docker container, which has the GTM instance, which we did this on the first time, so we'll be able to show off the XIndex report and do some other things. Here within HomeLessAir, we have our evidence, and we can look at our xindex.log. So here's our patch report for xindex of the particular 10005 patch, so we can see all the same routines that we saw in that particular directory. As we look for some of these others, we look for, $ZD is in fact a valid thing. XIndex doesn't quite report on it correctly. COCONT is looking at particular values on cache. These POSIX and ZKRs are all things that are found, again, that are guarded by other things here. The non-control characters we don't worry about. So most everything here, again, in unit tests, there are found in both places. So even though we do have error reports, again, most of these are guarded or are in fact just different particular bits of code that it complains about probing on different environments. Joel, any questions on that? Anything you'd like to see specifically?
No. No, we went over most of those things last week. That's our
exactly.
Or the week before, yeah.
So given that that also passes, we can give that the high value, highest value possible, which is 4. Next one is our easy one, open source license. Is the submission license under the Apache 2.0 license? As we open up our download of the patch here, we unzip the file into this as we eventually find our way all the way down towards the source repository. Actually, we'll open up the empty. I think it should say here too. We can see that here in the README, it does say that it is in fact licensed under the Apache 2.0 license. As we find our way down to the source code into the repository, we can see that there is in fact a proper license and README file for Apache 2.0. We'll just open those up show briefly to show that all modified code is under the Apache 2.0 license, and the notice, that is the notice, where is the license? And there's a license, which is the Apache 2.0 license. So, that's 4. Now we have documentation, the first of our gradated submission certification category. The documentation of the submission level 1 is none, which is restricted to legacy VA code, so we cannot actually certify it to level 1 for documentation. Level 2 is the basics of the documentation that describes how to install, test, and use the submission. Level 3 requires more information about the complex or difficult to understand aspects of the code. In the past, this has been API documentation. It has meant the change log of the bug, what was fixed, why it was fixed, some information like that. Level 4 is all of the above information, just like level 3, but also has some text about the future work of the submission. Future work can be the fact that there is no work planned, but we do require something of a little bit looking towards the future. So we have our 10,005 markdown document here. At the very top, you can see some information about how to install it, what actually the patch does itself. We have our install instructions with the minimum versions that are required, no post-install, no pre-install, and then to install it as any normal kids build. Here we can see some usage instructions, just updates the infrastructure. It doesn't actually add. A typical user will not see how to use this submission differently. We can see the different error codes, implementing of the interfaces. We have the enhancements and fixes specific to this particular instance, saying that you have certain numbers of licenses, restoring something that was removed in a FOIA patch, and then popping the error stack for various other parts. So we have some testing instructions here.
Can you scroll back up?
Absolutely. What are we looking for?
Okay, right in there. Back up under ZOSVONT. Okay. If you have less than 6 licenses, say that you have 15. Is that greater than 6 or?
No, that is less than 6. Here, we can open up that code because I actually do have it. Somewhere. So here is EOSVONT, as we find our get available jobs, 10,005.
Not less than five, okay. So six or greater. Quit if it's greater than ABJ, okay.
So if it's, but if V is not less than five, then do.
So six and above. Oh, if AVJ is greater than five, quit with that value. I don't know. It just seemed funny in the writing there. If it's less than six, say you have 15.
Helps Vista run with cache without a license, for example. Well, this, actually, I'm assuming this should be.
Yeah, the IA is backwards too.
The whole version. I actually still don't see where 15 exists.
That's okay.
Hi, David. Welcome back.
Yeah, let's not worry about it. It just seemed funny if it's less than six and say it's 15. That's all. It was.
Okay. Huh. I guess, yeah, I didn't really. I didn't really try to interact with that one. Interesting. sorry. okay, so where are we in documentation? So we're looking at the basic documentation right now, how to install, test, and use the submission. As we saw, we have some unit tests. We saw the install information. We have the unit test information. And as we look towards usage, we would be able to see some of the we have that set of usage information, which is, does not update the infrastructure. They don't typically interact with this package in the same way. So there's our install, test, and use the submission. Our next bit of update is to the complex or difficult to understand aspects. This is where we're going to look into that change log, talking about the new APIs that exist, how there's a documentation folder for these new APIs, there's a document in the documentation folder for the new APIs, and also some information about the other things that were fixed right along here. And then finally, for the fourth level, we're looking at future work at the very bottom. Sam does a nice job of having a future plan section, developing for a KMP port and TLS support for Vista as some future work there. So we have install, test, and use. We have difficult or complex to understand descriptions, and then finally future plans. So for us, we have all required levels of documentation. Are there any questions or comments with that?
No.
No. To those.
Okay. Giving in that, we're moving on to code.
You do have two of those there.
Of the documentation? You're right, I do. It's one of those brain teasers. You just see the and you skip right over it. All right, now we're down to one the, and we can move into code review. Code review is where we'll examine the updated submissions, looking for any number of issues. Critical, non-critical, or none. Level 1 and 2 require some number of non-critical issues to be found. Levels 3 and 4 require that no issues are found during this particular instance of code review. So what we have here, in a couple of different ways, we'll go about this. I think what we'll do is these ones, so we'll just open it up here, and we'll examine the submissions that we have. So first off, we'll close all to the right of this one. Attempt to close all to the right of this one. There we go. And we'll open up all of the code within our 10,005 little stuff here. We have some unit tests, ON, UNT, which we'll get rid of. Here we have UTs for 3 and 5. So now we'll briefly examine each routine. We'll look at the code that was changed, and we'll figure out if there are any number of issues found within it. Here in 10005, we do have one line change in XPV util, and it's really more of an overlay. Here we have made this change and certified this change in the past due to the fact that patch 672 changed this number by one digit. We now go back and replace our replacing to make it back up to 10 digits. So we have one single line change here, moving that 1.4 in this case back up to 1.10. 1.10, I should say. So any questions on XPV util? Fairly straightforward, not a lot to worry about, I think. Moving into GUX, here we have, again, I think the 10005 patch really isn't mentioned, but we know that there's a $ES, where here we have as we loop through things, we're newing error stack and potentially finding problems. Here in the error trap, this is the line that has changed. It's not marked, but you'll have to trust me on this one. This used to be quit if error stack is greater than 1. Now we're just quitting with error stack. Show you that here in our comparison, not there in our comparison, but here in our comparison.
Right. So that's quit if error stack as a Boolean is true, which is usually understood as not equal to, numerically not equal to 0.
Right. So here in GUX, this is what we've changed. This one, these two lines here. Any questions or concerns with GUX? Okay, moving into ZOSV GUX, we have a bit more of an update. Here in 10005, we have 3 new entry points down here at the bottom to deal with Plan 6 calls for Vista and internationalization, getting byte length and byte extracts of various bits of encoding, in addition to getting environment variables. So each of these 3 entry points was added in this particular patch. And they do seem to be quite concise and seemingly not a lot to have problems with code review. Any questions on these 3 new entry points?
I guess he created the ENV one because he wanted to make that not dependent on the mump system.
Yes, I believe so.
It'd be interesting to see what their coding looks like in cache, but that's not what we're looking at right now.
Nope. Okay. We'll get into that in just one second. Any other questions with here on the GTM instance of ZOSV? Okay, and then we'll move into cache. Here is the OpenM for NT version. We have a variety of 10005 changes. As we first saw, we have the cache support for cache without the number of licenses. We have that questionable relationship between the documentation in this one, where if it's less than 5 versus where the documentation here says if it's greater than 5 or greater than 6 or less than 6 versus greater than 6 here. So there's a bit of a mismatch, which I can bug Sam about a little later on if we feel it's really a potential problem or not. David or Joel, do you have any further insight that you've had a little time to think about this 5 and 6 problem?
I haven't thought about it much, but that's hard-coded into the particular copy that you get of cache, and as written, I mean, it's at least hiding the cache object code inside of an execute.
Right. So here we can see what we used to do. Here in the old version, we had if v is less than or equal to 5, do something and then quit with the number of routines.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, we say quit only if greater than 5. And then if it doesn't quit with greater than 5, it actually quits with 15 at the end. So, okay, that makes more sense now that we've looked through it a little bit more. So if the number of jobs is less than 5.
That's the version.
It won't quit. And then it will restart.
V is $$ version.
Plus a $$ version, yeah.
And available
right.
jobs.
Because they do talk about, where is it? Somewhere in here is like, get jobs from cache 5.0 and up.
I haven't seen a download version of cache in a while. Have either of you been able to download one?
Well, I think I've got 14. I'm not sure. I know I may have 16. I'm not sure. I know I've got 14.
I think we're
2014.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me.
I think the last version that Sarah was really looking for was 2016.
Okay. Well, I mean, this code looks like it ought to work. I doubt that they've changed that call. So if the version is greater than or equal to 5, then call
the I have a copy of 2016, which I don't use it very often, but yes, I've had it running, yes.
Okay, I'm just wondering if that particular call still works on 2016.
I think it does.
So, yeah. If we look ahead towards some coverage reports for later, the version that I ran this on does in fact execute that, which is 2016. So it does reach there. It does in fact get covered. It didn't seem to complain about it, so I think we did okay. In this case, I do have a license, so it was never at the point where it quit to 15.
Yeah, well, you see, if you read that, if its version is less than 5, not less than 5, it checks for whether you've got a license or not. If the license says it's greater than 5, you just give that. Otherwise, you quit.
It quits to return 15.
And so there 15, isn't, yeah.
So there isn't a mismatch in our documentation. Well, there's a slight mismatch. This should probably 5. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, well, I think we're doing about right.
Well, yeah. Whichever version 5.
Looking at the available jobs and saying if the available jobs is greater than 5, it was going to.
It's first looking at whatever the number was.
So if available jobs is greater than 5, it would give you back the available jobs.
Yeah.
If the available jobs is less than 5, it tells you have 15.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not quite sure why that, but I guess that makes sense. I mean, if it knows how many available jobs there are, why isn't it just returning them?
Well, because in some cases when you have Vista, it complains about not having enough licenses. And so if you have only the single trial licenses,
with the trial license, you'll
still get 15 on the trial one because
yeah.
You're saying if your version is greater than 15 and your number of available jobs is greater than 5, then you'll get 15. I'm not quite sure why.
If the version is greater than 5, and if you don't have a number of licenses, I mean, jobs already saying it's available through the system of greater than 5 or whatever it was, then you get 15. And basically, yes, I run a number of jobs and I have no problem with it. So, yeah. And I'm surprised we're still looking at cache license, I mean, version less than 5, 5 and less. That's because that hasn't been out there a long time.
Well, there are people out there that are still running versions prior to 5.
Okay.
And I know of some. And Dash InterSystems has made it more difficult to buy an up-to-date license. So they have a hard time upgrading. You did notice your typo that it's a trial license, not a trail license. Trial version.
That's a Sam snafu.
That's twice now, yeah.
Sorry.
It's okay. So we think that the code review, this does make sense to, now that we've looked at it, you know, if we're looking at less than 5 available jobs, it does return with a 15. So it does, in fact, match what the documentation says if we finagle the less than 6 licenses. So seemingly this first part is in good shape. As
well,
we put on,
you know, the code clearly does say greater than 5. So, you know, so, right?
Well, yeah.
It was the version originally, and then yes, AVJ, available jobs, 5, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Version, so not less than 5.
Effectively an and between the two of them.
Yeah.
Right.
So if your version is greater than or equal to 5, and your available jobs are greater than 5, then he'll return whatever the license says. Otherwise, he claims you've got 15, whether you've got them or not.
Yep.
Yep, exactly. And then down here at the bottom, we have our other set of 10,005 updates for Vista internationalization. So David, now we can see what the difference is between DTM and Cache. So everything here doesn't seem to make sense to me. I don't know much about Zconvert, but it seemingly is used the way we expect it to be used. Any questions or comments with the cache version?
No more.
I assume it's correct. I don't know.
Yep. As you can see from our coverage report here, we didn't quite get to know it either. The test report, I think in here, does mention that in 16-bit. Maybe it's down here at the bottom when we see the unit test.
Joel, have you been thinking about the idea of sending tests with kids builds?
Joel? Did you say Joel or Joel?
Well, I call you Joseph, and I don't know that you were ever thinking about it, to be honest. I know Joel was. If you've been thinking about it, then...
Well, it has been a bit of a Sarah's precedence to have them included. We like the fact that you can install one thing and have the unit tests run in the system just after the patch has been installed. That's the way we hope to get them, but obviously we will take anything in terms of getting a kids patch with some updated code and then having to install the routines ourselves is something we are well versed in doing. My personal opinion is that they should be passed right along with the code itself.
Joel, can you think of a way to make a UTF string? Could you just do it with a series of $C?
Make it split screen?
No, I said $character. I'm referring to his statement that he couldn't think of a way to make the UTF-8 string to test. I would think that you'd be able to just use the dollar character to pull it together byte by byte. I don't know how you'd mark it to say it's a UTF-8 string.
Well, the question is Cache able to go to UTF-8?
Well, his code is depending on it. His code is calling that $Z convert, saying to convert it into UTF-8.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never tried it or anything with it. Yeah, I've thought about it, especially now, you know, that they're doing the stuff with Korea, South Korea and such, but I haven't done anything with it, no.
I think that he's doing the Super S stuff using UTF, you know, Unicode, UTF, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, I would think that's UTF-16.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's two characters long. I don't know. I'm innocent this time.
Yeah, and Sam did mention that this was the case, so we know that these two entry points aren't going to be tested, but we'll deal with that again in just a few minutes. Do we have any further questions or comments about the code itself, the lines that were changed during the submission?
No.
I don't.
Okay. Given that we found no critical issues, or any non-critical issues as well, we can say that we found no issues, allowing us to give it a certification level of 4. The code was examined, and no issues were found. We'll move directly into test installation. Here, what we're going to do is we're going to follow the installation instructions of the submission, installing it into a local instance, and then demonstrate that the submission itself comes in correctly. We'll run the test and verify everything going forward from there. Here on my local machine, I have an instance of Osera Vista that was just built, as you can see here. And what we'll do is we'll head into the system itself, and we'll attempt to run install the code and verify that it installs correctly. So following our instructions here, our set of installation instructions are to install it as any other kids patch. After we ensure that all of these previous external interfaces are present, here's our pre-install. It suggests install the kids build and then hit reinstall. So we'll set D is equal to 1, head up into pd main, inst, and we'll load our distribution. And the installation we're looking for here is in Vista, our 10005.kid. So we'll paste it into here. You can see that we have our load T6. It contains the following transport globals. We'll continue on with that load, print the transport global just to verify that it is in fact the one we're expecting. Here we can see the incoming enhancements, the ZOSVONT for the less than licenses, NZUGUX, everything else coming in. As we can see at the top there, we do in fact have our XU package. Our national package is in fact kernel. So all of the normal things we expect to see in the kids build header do in fact seem to be correct. We'll install that package. No, in home. Here we can see the install completed successfully. We can see ZTMGR set running in the background there as it ran through. And everything seems to be in good shape. So we'll first just show the install file for 8.0.10005. There we have our install completed message on the day, on today at this time, so everything looks good there. As we can see, there wasn't a lot else to go into it. The routines and the patches, everything we loaded as we expect, and we seemingly had no issues. Any questions or comments with the test installation following the installation procedures?
No.
Okay. So level 4, given that we found no issues, installation instructions followed. No issues were found. That'll allow us to jump over regression testing into functional testing. Here, as we were able to demonstrate both on GTM earlier on in the peer reviews, we do have. We'll first show the tests running here. 5. As you can see, when we ran it on GTM, all 12 of our tests pass with zero failures and zero errors. Here on cache, that's it. So here we have a variety of tests here, some of which were from the previous set of submissions. In this case, this test RSA encryption is something that Sam and I could not figure out why it's failing. I could verify that it does in fact work on the local instance that I have, but that isn't a part of this submission. So while it is showing that it is a failure, we're going to kind of ignore it right now until I have a better reason as to why this particular set is failing. After we get through the wget sync, we will demonstrate that the tests that are new in 10005 did in fact pass. So these two marked here for the ENV and the AVJ, both returned as we expected them to. So despite the failures here in the encryption, OpenSSL integration, the tests for 10005 all work the way we expect them to, both on GTM and on cache. I don't want to consider that test, the test failure, a non-critical issue, but obviously I'm going to leave it up to the group here. Given that it worked on a previously certified code and the code that we're dealing with did not touch that particular set of code, subsection of code, I should say, do you all consider that a critical issue?
Well, if the code that's getting the error was not touched, why are we getting an error?
What I'm willing to call it is a problem with the machine. I have installed, when I did this the first time, I tested it on Windows 7, so on a different machine than the one that you can see in front of you. Now that it's Windows 10, we were willing to chalk that up to potentially being a problem. I did not go back to the previous machine and try to run this there. I'm willing to do that, though, in between this meeting and the end and the start of the next meeting, to just really ensure that it is maybe a Windows 10 issue as opposed to something else a bit more internal to the submission.
Functional test results should be talking about the results of doing a functional level test on the code that has been part of what is being certified. We're not certifying other code, therefore.
The previous instances of the code. So really, it isn't a part of the current submission, which is why I'm more than happy to kind of let it sit aside for now. It is a problem that we'll have to look at, but it really doesn't apply to the current submission.
That's the way I feel. What do you feel, Joe?
It's fine with me.
Okay. So we will mark it down as a potential thing to be found here, to be seen here. Put that off. So tests on win cache returned.
I thought Sam was supposed to be sick.
He is, as far as I know. Sam, are you on the call now?
His iPad just came in.
I think I am.
Hi,
can you hear
Sam?
Me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yep.
Welcome.
I just got back from my doctor's call. So.
Okay, great. We just got to the functional testing. As I was going through, as I mentioned to you earlier, we did have that problem with the Windows version and the OpenSSL, but we're willing to kind of say that that's not really relevant to the submission. The tests that we are relevant are passing, so we're more than happy to agree to that functional testing, having no issue.
You know, Joe, I just thought of this. The wget sync also calls out to an external program and apparently succeeds. So,
yes.
Actually, I think I know what the problem is. Cache has a path, that system path that you set for OpenSSL is probably not getting absorbed by cache, so cache can't find the OpenSSL binary.
Okay.
That's most likely the problem. Because if it works with wget, then that I was worried about the callouts not working, but if callouts work, then it's probably a path problem.
Okay. Well, I'll see what I can do with the path a little bit later on. As I mentioned,
yeah.
You know, I wanted to, since we aren't officially ending the peer review or the final review today, we do have some time to examine these things and determine if they are really problems or not. But given that it's really not a part of this current submission, we're willing to let it sit for as long as necessary. So given that we found no issues with the functional testing, we can give that level 4 and move to our last object here, which is regression testing. The regression testing requires that for level 1, the existing tests that we have passed, which we proved in the peer review. Level 2 requires that some regression tests are included along with the submission. As we just demonstrated, that is in fact the case. Level 3 requires greater than 50% coverage on those new and incoming regression tests. Level 4 requires greater than 90% coverage on the regression test. I have a very, very simple spreadsheet here, which allowed us to, I wrote in the lines of new code, both on GTM and cache, and whether or not they were covered or not. The majority of the GTM code seemed to be 100% covered when we had the 10,005 message. We do have those versions of the files, those lines being found. This one doesn't have one, but we know it's the dollar ESAC down here at the bottom. Not that one, but that one. Here we have 10,005 again, where we have all of these entry points being executed and worked successfully. The cache, though, as we mentioned earlier, as mentioned in the documentation, these two particular entry points were not covered due to the fact that cache is a little harder to generate the UTF-8 stream, there's the UTF-16 encoding that it typically uses. So unfortunately, we will have to ding you on this one, which really kind of sucks. but in the end, we determined that we have 78% coverage due to the fact that the two, really the only two missing lines were those two ones. So we have 78% coverage, which is a very respectable amount, good enough for level 3, but doesn't quite reach level 4. Any questions or comments with the certification, the coverage levels, calculations of the coverage levels?
Nope.
Okay. So we'll head back into here. So given that we have 78% coverage, we do exceed 50%, but not 90, allowing us to get that level 3. And that brings us to the end of the review. We've answered all 8 categories. We can see that we have achieved level 4 in all columns except for 1, the regression testing, which is our kind of buzzsaw, unfortunately. As I'm writing down our reviewers and attendees, are there any final comments or questions? Now that Sam's on the call, is a good time to ask the questions that you have.
I know that you were using you had a comment about creating a UTF-8, creating a UTF-8 string to be able to compare against.
I'm sorry, David, I can't hear you. You're barely audible.
You had a comment about that you couldn't find an easy way to make a UTF-8 string?
So here's the problem. I made the kids build on cache on GTM and I put in a routine when I put in text in a routine, the text is a literal. It's actually a literal, actually. It says the word, Chinese in Chinese.
Okay.
And
right there, that means that you were using the non-M character set. So that's totally unportable.
Exactly. It's unportable. And basically, you know, when kids transports it out of GTM, it's UTF-8. Mm-hmm. But when it gets transported, so Cache is essentially trying to import a kid's build that contains some UTF-8, and it doesn't understand UTF-8 natively. It only understands UTF-16.
Huh. Okay. So, no. but there is that $Z convert that will convert it into UTF-8, right?
So that's the kind of thing is, you know, the only way I think I could have tested this, unless you could have come up with a better idea, is kind of encoding the UTF-16 as a sequence of bytes in a $C array and just put it, and using that for the unit test.
Yeah, that's probably what was asking if there were problems with that, because I knew.
No, there weren't. I never fully pursued it because I have not gotten CPRS to work in UTF-8 mode with cache, and there has to be even more conversions than what are happening now. So, so basically, you know, these were stubs just to implement the code on cache, not that it's actually going to get used. So I guess I said, I didn't want to focus too much on it.
Well, I'm sorry if I put too much time into asking the questions.
No, it's fine. I understand. I do want it to get it all working, but it's not all working right now for cache, basically. That's the summary of it.
Yep. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Okay, any other questions or comments?
That's the only one I came up with.
David, I have a question for you, so I'm going to call you after this call.
Sure.
Totally different topic. Just, you know, I have a question. I have a question from the people in Korea, and I thought you might be the best person to know the answer.
Okay. And we're waiting on 10,006 for the final testing on the ZSY code, right? ZSY and available job.
If you have any updates for me, let me know.
Okay. Well, there's our final review. Fully completed. All questions are answered. We have a recommended certification level of 3, again, thanks to regression testing. And with that, brings us to the end of the meeting. Any final questions for me for certification as a whole or for the group, for the good of the order? Somebody likes to say?
No, not from me.
Okay. Then thank you for coming. I really appreciate you taking your time out of your day to come here and help me review the code. Our next meeting will be 1 week from today, April 16th, 2019. I don't know exactly what we'll do there then, but we will figure it out beforehand. So thank you all for coming. We hope to see you next week.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Take care,
hope
everyone.
You had a good trip, Sam.
Oh, I did. We need to talk. Thanks.
Yeah. Take care.
Yeah, I wasn't able to go to the reminders meeting, so I wasn't able to see either. Sorry.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, everyone. Talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye, Ken.
Bye.